Hello, everybody, and welcome to CFB Unfiltered. I am Blaine Gilmer here with Josh Taylor and Donovan White once again here on the Believe Podcast Network and also streaming on the 365 Sports YouTube channel. Go ahead and do us a favor. Hit that subscribe button, turn on notifications, give us a like, all those good things, because we're going to be talking about some rapid reactions of college football that we'll get to here in a minute, some previews like Oklahoma-Baylor coming up. We've got Ohio State-Purdue, which has turned into a very interesting game here coming up, and then we're going to break down Texas A&M at Ole Miss. We'll give you our best bets of the week, our future headlines, all that kind of stuff. But right before I even kick it over to my co-host, right out of the gate, we're going to thank our sponsor here. With speaking of the best bets, guys, if you want to put a little bit of action on, whether it's basketball, whether it's football, hockey, boxing, anything that you want to lay down some things and just get a little bit more interested in that contest, you need to head on over to Bet Online, because Bet Online remains the number one spot for all basketball and football action this season, and they have a brand new website. So head over to the new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo, which is BELIEVE50, that's BLEAV50, to receive your bonus from basketball, football, as I mentioned, hockey, boxing, UFC, Vegas casino games, whatever you can think of, guys. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers that are going on through the rest of this 2021 season. So Bet Online, it's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. Bet Online, where the game starts. And once again, always thankful for Bet Online. And Josh, speaking of where things start, we're going to start tonight with our rapid reactions here, and we're going to get it started off with what transpired over there in East Lansing.
Mm-mm-mm. Michigan State falls. The profession of these Spartans is disappointment. Donovan says, as Purdue wins 40-29, Michigan State looks like they're going to go on this magical run. You know, they're getting the respect from the college football committee, and then Aiden O'Connell just throws all over that Spartan defense. 536 yards and 3 touchdowns. Look, Michigan State ran Kenneth Walker III until the wheels fell off. 22 carries for 136 yards and a touchdown. Peyton Thorne made some plays too, but Purdue showed they're no joke. You know, beating Iowa and then now beating Michigan State. That's two top three teams this season. I'm telling you guys, David Bell and Jalen Graham on defense is playmakers that no one's talking about. David Bell's one of the best wide receivers in the Big Ten now. I know Donovan's got some Ohio State guys he's going to talk about, but Jalen Graham's a guy you're going to hear on Sundays. He plays a linebacker. He plays safety. He has like a hybrid role. Purdue's going to make some noise, and don't be surprised when we talk about them at the Ohio State game.
No doubt, no doubt. And Donovan, a little bit, speaking of Ohio State, what's your rapid reaction from that contest this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, listen, Ohio State winning Nebraska is a 14.5-point favorite, and Nebraska almost played spoiler like they did against the rest of the top teams that they played this season. You know, Ohio State showed some weak offensive line play, especially the interior, some youth again at quarterback from C.J. Stroud, and overall some questionable play calling, right? Throwing it almost 55 times by Ryan Day, just avoiding the run game whatsoever. It was, again, it's what Nebraska does this season, but it is certainly, you know, some cause for concern for Buckeye fans out there.
Absolutely. Speaking of cause for concern, Josh, 6 rushing yards for the Clemson Tide against LSU. I don't know what's going on over there. I think Josh may be froze up on us right here, so I'm going to pretend I didn't kick that to Josh. And I'm just going to say, man, absolutely crazy with, an Alabama team being held to 6 yards rushing. That is insane for a Nick Saban coach team. So very, very interesting to see the struggles that Alabama offensive line is incurring right now, Donovan. And, you know, LSU just threw some – it wasn't only with the – and I'm going to, take Josh off here while he's trying to get things going on with his
– had to duck out when we talked about the Crimson Tide struggles. I understand.
That's it. He had to duck out a little bit right there. But, yeah, Alabama, you know, they struggled against an LSU front that is not done great, really, Donovan, in terms of being able to, take care of – you know, being gap sound throughout this year. There's been too many mistakes, and man, they look like world beaters against that Alabama offensive front. And that just seems to be the consistency with Alabama this year has been that they've been inconsistent, right? They've not played well on both sides of the football, it seems, all year. There's been one side lacking, and that's just not common for a Nick Saban coach team.
Yeah, it's interesting. We saw their defense struggle a little bit earlier this season. Now we're seeing different aspects of their offense struggle. Right, Bryce Young a little bit early, kind of been more consistent as seasons rolled on, but now their offensive line, one of the worst rushing outputs that we've seen in a long time, by not just by a Bama team, by a lot of teams, right, against a bad LSU team. It's interesting to see who's going to be most consistent when it's all said and done this year, other than Georgia.
Oh, yeah, I agree. And I'll tell you who is being consistent right now is Cincinnati. Cincinnati is consistently sucking. And anybody that wants to tell me that Cincinnati belongs in the playoffs, I just refer to their performances against Navy, against Tulane, and against Tulsa. Cincinnati has no place being talked about as being one of the best four teams in college football. And if you're just wanting to see it for chaos purposes, then you do not want to see the best four teams in college football play, because I'm telling you right now, they are not even close, Donovan.
Yeah, I mean, I heard a phrase. It was, you know, you get one. I'm not sure which commentator said you get one struggle, right? You get one, you know, kind of weird looking game. You get a second one. Okay, now we have some questions. And then you get a third, right? You start to have some major problems that, you know, and so, and when you can't rely on a team that is, you know, number two in the AP poll, and I understand the playoff committee has them. I think they were six last time, right? Six yeah. or seven last time. They're top six, seven team in both polls, but you're struggling against just inferior competition, not even 500 competition, right? Navy was 1-5 at the time. You're not seeing the how do you want to put it? The Power Five level of play that we thought Cincinnati had, right? That
they're not able to put teams away when they need to.
Exactly. And again, Ohio State's had their struggles doing that. Bama's had their struggles doing that. Oklahoma's had their struggles doing it. But the difference is, I don't care how bad, you know, or mediocre some of the teams Ohio State or Bama or Oklahoma played. They're not as bad as the competition, you know, bad or mediocre that Cincinnati's playing. It's just a fact.
Yeah, no doubt. And then the ACC's last hope, that was our other rapid reaction here, was Wake Forest. And you can see with our headline here, Donovan, big collapse in the ACC.
Yeah, I mean, again, last chance for an ACC playoff bid is just extinguished, right, by the Tar Heels. And again, by North Carolina, a team that a lot of, you know, me, you, and Josh all had high hopes for going into the season with Sam Howell, potential first-round quarterback, but it was a shootout, right? It looked more like a Big 12 game. I don't know if that's going to be the new norm in the ACC, right? Ty Chandler for UNC just rushed all over Wake Forest. It was over 200 yards, four touchdowns. And again, just another blow to the ACC, not just for playoffs, but for credibility for this season going forward.
Yeah, I mean, the ACC's done officially now with Wake Forest being out of there. I don't think there's an ACC team that belongs even in the top 10. Maybe Wake Forest, you could say, could hold on because they only got one loss. But it's the ACC has been down tremendously, with Clemson for years having been the only thing, in my opinion, that has even propped up the ACC to where they've been. So now, you know, you see the ACC officially crumbling down with perennial, you know, with traditional powers like Florida State and Miami being in the dumpster, so to speak. And then, you know, even though Miami's been playing better as of late, Virginia Tech's not the power they used to be back in the day. So, you know, there is a lot of concern if you're the ACC with what's going on, especially with teams like Oklahoma and Texas coming into the SEC, that brand of big-time college football there out of the SEC and then, of course, out of the Big Ten is only going to get stronger now with the ACC struggling, of course, because it has an impact on recruiting. But, you know, Donovan, each week we also go through our sets of the Big Three, and we're going to start off right now with set number one of the Big Three, which in our Big Three, guys, we touch on three sets of three different categories, a future headline that we think will come out after this upcoming weekend set of games, our best bets, and then our preview that we're going to hit on. So without further ado, let's hit the Big Three.
Big Three. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so we are going to hit right here the first headline for next week. You got it in here in the notes here, Donovan. I don't know if this is some of that Ohio State bias coming out against the Michigan Wolverines, but you're saying Penn State's going to take down Michigan in Happy Valley. So you think Michigan goes down for a second loss over there to the Nittany Lions?
Yeah, if Michigan wouldn't have played Indiana last week, just with how down Indiana's been this season, I would have picked any other team that they played against whom they weren't a bottom feeder like Indiana, the Big Ten. I think Penn State's defense, regardless of what happened against Ohio State or even Illinois, I understand they're both low scoring games, is still pretty good, leading towards great, right? It's in Happy Valley, right? It's going to be a whiteout. I don't think Michigan has the firepower to keep up with teams in the Big Ten. And again, Penn State doesn't have the firepower to do so either. But Penn State has the defense. And when you lack that firepower on offense, especially from Michigan, I think they can create matchups on the defensive side that can cause Michigan to struggle. And you have a guy like Jahan Dotson, I think is going to make some plays against Michigan when it counts. Like, I think Penn State was a point favorite. Last time I checked, might have gone back to even, might have gone up. But again, Vegas is saying, hey, we favor the Nittany Lions in this.
Yeah, and you never know what Nittany Lion team you're going to see. I mean, that's my only concern is you're going to see, or we're going to see the team that played against Illinois, or we're going to see the team that took Ohio State to the to the limit. You know, I don't really know what's going to happen there. I think Caden McNamara looked a lot better the last time, even though in spite of losing to Michigan State, I think he looked a lot better in that game a couple of weeks ago. So we'll see what ends up happening there. Also, our best bet, we've got USF plus 24 versus, oh, and look who's back here, guys. We've got Josh joining us back again. So maybe that internet's going to hold up for you over there, Josh. Well, he's in some new digs now.
Was it ironic that it was right when we started mentioning Bama? I don't know. Who
knows? Look, I did just move, and like I'm actually near civilization now, so you'd think the internet would be better because I was living out in the middle of nowhere. But apparently not. I literally just moved my router to like right here next to my desk. So this better work. So I'm sorry about that, guys.
Yeah, no doubt. So we got Josh back. Josh, and just in time, our resident, you know, gambler here, you can talk about USF plus 24 versus Cincinnati.
See, the thing is, betting-wise, you should go Cincinnati on this one, but they haven't been able to prove that they can cover a spread. I don't think they've done it at all this season. I mean, especially last week.
I'm not going with Cincinnati on any spread. I don't know what you're talking about.
UCF, I mean, USF, they can put up some points too. Like, they're not a terrible team. Like, they are pretty bad, but Cincinnati's been playing down to all of their opponents. So don't be surprised if it's like another week when they win by 10. Everyone's like, all right, why is Cincinnati ranked so high? Like, where is this, you know, respect Cincinnati stuff coming from? Like, they're not showing anything against bad teams.
Yeah, I think they're living off of a close performance against a Georgia team from over on New Year's Day last year, which Georgia was absolutely depleted in that game, and they still lost the game. I've never seen anybody have so much legs off of a loss going into with what they returned and stuff like that. But Cincinnati absolutely does not belong in the national conversation. They're point blank. They do not belong. And I will stand on that from here until the end of the year. They do not belong in the playoff. And if they get in, they are going to get their doors waxed by any team that goes in there. Won't even be close.
Yeah, Desmond Ritter's good. He's not like one of those elite quarterbacks, though. Like, he hasn't taken that step of, like, you know, he can start in the NFL. I don't know if he can. Like, he's big. He's athletic. He kind of plays like Colin Kaepernick in a way. If I had to like compare him to somebody, honestly, that's who he reminds me of the most. I think Colin Kaepernick was a better passer, though. And then Kobe Bryant and Sauce Gardner are like two top tier DBs in college football. So like, they have a phenomenal like cast, good talent. But like, we talk about the run game, it's just Jerome Ford. Like, there's nothing else. Maybe like Ritter a little bit. He has a few design runs and he can, you know, make things work on his feet. But outside of that, and they just don't really, I don't know. They play down so much. They haven't came out and said like, we are this dominant undefeated team yet. So no, I'm with you. They got good talent, no doubt about it, but I just don't think they're a good like whole team. They can't put four quarters together, that's for sure.
I got you. Absolutely. Now, for our first preview here, Donovan, we have Ohio State going against the Purdue Boilermakers. Obviously, Purdue, we already talked in a rapid reaction, they beat Michigan State. That, you know, Purdue, no stranger to be able to pull it off upsets, right? It seems like they do it every year, and this year they've done multiple, beating who was ranked at the time, I think, number two, Iowa, and then also now with number three CFP ranked coming into the week, Michigan State. So, Josh, I mean, Donovan, you are the resident Ohio State aficionado. How nervous are you going into this Purdue game?
Not that nervous. I think a matchup in Columbus serves well for Ohio State, and I still have memories of Purdue ending the playoff run in the Dwayne Haskins year a couple of years ago. This is when Ohio State enters a gauntlet, right? We thought maybe it could start with Indiana a little bit, and it didn't, right? Ohio State blew them out after the bye week. Nebraska gave them a scare. That's what it seems like what Nebraska's been doing this season. Purdue is that team that kicks us off, right? If you win out these games, you're going to play Purdue, which is going to be ranked. It's just a matter of are they going to be inside the top 20, you know, kind of 22, 23 range. Then you're going to play Michigan State. You're going to play Michigan. You know, if you win those games, you're going to go play Iowa, Minnesota, Wisconsin. You're going to play four ranked teams in a row. The thing that scares me the most with this Purdue team and versus Ohio State in the matchup wise is Purdue, you know, they come in with the eighth ranked passing offense in all of college football. Ohio State defensively has gotten better. Their front four is fantastic at stopping run. They get to the passer pretty well too. What they have struggled with is youth in the back seven. Those linebackers, whether or not, you know, couple of them are Steel Chambers is a redshirt sophomore, junior, I believe, but he's a converted running back playing linebacker. It's from the Georgia. Inexperience. Yeah. It's the inexperience in the back seven, and it's been shown with Ohio State. I think they were the mid-90s, right, for pass defense because they give up explosively. You saw it against Nebraska, against no names, right? You saw it, even see it, you see it in bursts against Akron or against Tulane or Tulsa, whoever they played early on. That is the main concern, especially after Aiden O'Connell dropped almost 550 yards passing against Michigan State, who we thought had a solid defense. It's going to be an intriguing matchup. Josh, one of your favorite wide receivers in college football, David Bell there. I'm sure you're pretty excited for the matchup there.
I was about to say, Josh, David Bell, if the back end for Ohio State's having trouble, then David Bell's going to acerbate those troubles a little bit as things go on here.
Yeah, Purdue, they don't care that your front four is good because they don't want to run the ball at all. Like, O'Connell just wants to go deep. He just wants to hit David Bell and let the yak yards take care of itself. And he's just such a good deep threat. Like, for me, he is up there with the top-tier Big Ten wide receivers like Jahan Dotson, Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson. Like, he is that good. Like, people remember Rondell Moore. I think he's better than Rondell Moore. I think he's a better possession guy than Rondell Moore. We're starting to see a little bit more of Rondell Moore's game in the NFL with the Cardinals. Like, he's starting to get some, like, shorter passes and stuff like that. But I think Bell just does everything so well. So that's what I'm most excited about. Like, if you're a draft person, you know, you're trying to keep up, like, Washington, like, I look at all these things. I study all these guys. And David Bell just jumps off the tapes for me. But like I said, there's another guy that a lot of draft guys are loving, and that's on the Purdue defense, Jalen Graham. He has been big in every single game, and you can put him all over. It doesn't matter what linebacker spot you put him at. Like I said, he's played some hybrid, like, safety roles. He's just one of those hybrid guys that's just like, I'll do whatever you want me to do, and I'm going to be in every single play. So I think the biggest thing for them is, you know, stopping C.J. Stroud. Don't let Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave get these big plays. Because outside of Jalen Graham, they have a couple of good guys, but they just don't have, like, a solid defense. You know, Kenneth Walker did get going a little bit. I saw Peyton Thorne run the ball, make some plays with his feet, which we haven't really seen this season, so it's kind of surprising to me. So I think C.J. Stroud can do what he wants to against this defense. He just has to do it at the right times, not try to force anything and get the ball in Purdue's hands to where they can put up a lot of yards and some big points.
Yeah, no doubt. I think it's going to be an interesting game. You know, so with that being said, what do you think? Is there some more Purdue magic in this one, guys? You know, Donovan, we know your prediction. We know you're picking Ohio State. We don't even have to ask. But what do you think the score is going to be? What does this one look like?
I think Ohio State wins this one. I think in the end, you know, Michigan State still scored about 29 points on them, and they're a more one-dimensional offense than Ohio State. I'm going to go Ohio State 41. I'm going to go Purdue 31. I still think it's a close game, as it should be. Again, like you mentioned, Purdue's a good team. I mean, they're a top 20 team right now. Even with the loss to Ohio State, I still think they should stay ranked.
You taking that 20-point spread?
Oh, I absolutely am.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm taking that.
That's a lot. I mean, yeah. I get it. Like, it's Ohio State. But I know Donovan remembers a game when Rondell Moore just went off and just crushed the hopes of Ohio State not too long ago. So, like, I see that that could possibly happen. Like I said, David Bell has that capability of these big plays, putting up games for over 200 yards. Like, that's unheard of. Like, just cover the guy. Like, you know the ball's going to him, but still teams can't do it. So, I think it'll be close. I love that 20-point spread. Like, to me, and I get it, like, Vegas always knows, and now watch Ohio State wins by, like, 40, like, somehow. But 20 points is just a lot. Like, I'm crushing that all day long. I think this would be, like, a 38-30 mm-hmm. kind of game. Ohio State still wins it, though.
Gary, great point here on, you know, O'Connell, number one quarterback, Big Ten West. I'm not sure how big of a compliment that is, though.
Yeah.
The Big Ten West has got some hot garbage over there for some offense.
But he is really good, though. Like, I've been impressed, especially against Michigan State. Like, he stepped up on the stage.
It's always when you don't think Ohio State is going to do well that they end up blowing people out, or when you think they are going to do well, they're kind of a Jekyll and Hyde type team. So I'll take Ohio State. I will take Purdue to cover. I think this is a game where I think Ohio State probably scores, I don't know, maybe they score 38 points in this game, and Purdue ends up something with anywhere from 21 to 24. So I'll say 38-24. Give me Purdue to cover the 20, but Ohio State to win and look better than they did last week. So that is our prediction on that. Set two of the big three. And I had a little bit of problem here, and I took Ohio State from our set two and put it in set one. So we're going to revert back here. We're going to jump down to set two for Dan Mullen's job saved for 1 week, thanks to a week 11 FCS game. That's the headline. You know, I think that writing's already on the wall. I don't know. He may get to, in theory, keep it for another week. Haven't said that, but when you lose 40-17 to a South Carolina team that played a quarterback who's never played before at the University of South Carolina, he transferred from St. Francis. Can anybody tell me where St. Francis?
I'm going to guess it's somewhere up north.
It's in Pennsylvania.
I
had a feeling.
Oh, yeah.
It's in Pennsylvania, but I don't know what division they are.
FCS.
High school.
Well, they were a team that I got a call on my 18th birthday. They called me and they offered me one of my first FCS scholarships. So I have a special place in my heart for them.
You shouldn't go from St. Francis to play in quarterback for South Carolina. And it used to be, competitive SEC program under the great Steve Spurrier there when he had Jadeveon Clowney and all that rolling on, the meme that'll live forever, knocking that Michigan player's helmet back, 15 yards in the air. So, I think Dan Mullen, I don't know if they'll fire him to the end of the year. Who knows? They may not even fire him because of that buyout. They don't want to pay $12 million. Who knows? We'll see.
They'll raise the money tomorrow if it had to be.
But going back to our bet was Purdue plus 20 versus Ohio State. I think we all like that one to take it. We've already given our rationale why. So now let's jump up, since I got it out of order on that right there. Let's jump back up to Oklahoma at Baylor. Guys, this is a Baylor team lost a little bit of the luster, I guess, with that defeat this past week. We'll see. Oklahoma, they've been in kind of Ohio State mode, not really just putting teams away when they need to right now. And I think that's why they've been disrespected, I guess, in theory, by the CFP committee putting down at 8. What are your thoughts on this Oklahoma and Baylor game?
For me, it was embarrassing that TCU was able to throw for 461 yards against that Baylor defense, which has been really good throughout the season. They've been phenomenal stopping the run. Held TCU, their leading rusher, only 70 yards. But Oklahoma's offense is way better than TCU. Like, I expected TCU to get blown out. Gary Patterson's gone for the first time in like 100 years. I was like, this is just a down bad game for TCU. And then, boom, Baylor just comes out looking slouch. I know it's at TCU, so I'm kind of leaning that way this time for Baylor, though. Like, at home, Baylor, home field advantage, we've talked about how much that actually does help throughout the season. And then, like you said, Oklahoma's been playing down everybody, just kind of squeaking by. They're like that. They're kind of like in the same boat as Cincinnati, like the unimpressive, undefeated team. You're just like, all right, like, they're undefeated, so we have to put them in the top 10. But they haven't really shown us anything except, you know, Caleb Wilson being better than Rattler. So I think this is a game where Oklahoma could absolutely slip up. I think Baylor could get right after last week. Like I said, coming back home, it always feels good. You lose a tough one on the road, you come back home, like, all right, let's reset. We know what this one's worth. We know we can beat Oklahoma. They've shown us how to beat them. And they can stop the run and make Caleb Williams once again make those big plays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, you know, it's a 5.5-point spread. And when Vegas, that tells you that Vegas doesn't expect, you know, Oklahoma to dominate this game by any means. And I think Caleb Williams, you know, I think he's great. And I think he'll be, in the next couple of years, have the chance to win a Heisman Trophy. Heck, maybe two Heisman Trophies. Who knows? I mean, he's that kind of talented player, but I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what ends up happening. I think it'll stay tight because I think that's just what Oklahoma's DNA is this year. I think they're going to play just enough defense to make stops when they need to, and they're going to find ways to, you know, utilize Caleb Williams' athleticism and make just enough plays. But being on the road at Baylor with a Dave Aranda coach team that has a lot of pride, they'll take on his personality. And I'm like you, Josh. I think they come out with their backs against the wall. Why not? I'm going to say Oklahoma's run to the CFP ends officially here, and I'm going to take Baylor to win this game. So I obviously have them covering. I'll have them winning outright. And the over-under is 62. I'm going to take Baylor to win it. These games seem to be more low-scoring with Oklahoma just because of the nature of how they're doing things, moving the ball side to side, trying to run it, and things like that. Baylor's obviously not adverse to playing that game. I'm going to take the under on this game. I'm going to say Baylor wins this game 31. I'm going to say they win this game 31-27, Baylor.
Not mad about it. I like Abram Smith too, the running back out of Baylor. I think they can do enough to just control the game, not let Oklahoma get the ball and let Caleb Williams make these big plays. I think Garrett Bohannon can do enough. Like, he's shown us this season, like, he's not going to go out and like make huge plays and win the game, but he just has to make sure, like, he doesn't turn the ball over. He has to make sure that the game is well in reach for the defense to make big stops and offense to take advantage of that and score. So for me, I think Smith is the difference maker in this game. They stop Brooks on defense, get the ball back, and let them bleed out the clock. Like you said, I think this could be a lower scoring game. Like, it screams big scoring because it's Oklahoma. Oklahoma's defense is terrible. Like, Baylor can put up points, but we think Oklahoma can score too. But 62.5 is just, it's a lot. I think I agree with you. I could see this being a 28-24, 28-23 game. And I honestly am leaning more towards Baylor too.
Yeah, I think when it comes down to it, I mean, would you believe me if I said that Oklahoma, the 17th ranked run defense in the country? It doesn't feel like that, right? Because their defense has just been...
And Bijan Robinson had like 600 yards.
Yeah, and so, like, even with that statistic, right, you still think that matchup, you know, in the rush offense versus run defense still favors Baylor, right? I here's the thing, is that Baylor losing to TCU, even though it's at Baylor, I think killed a lot of the momentum, right? That you lose to a team that just lost their head coach in Gary Patterson, like you guys mentioned. I think Oklahoma's going to win this game. And I don't think they drop a game until they play Oklahoma State, because I think Oklahoma State in the next couple weeks, you know, unless they have a complete and total collapse, is the best team suited to beat them. A tough-nosed defense, a team that, you know, when we talk about, you know, kind of a baseline, right? They don't go up and down, right? Even when they lost to Iowa State, right? They come out the next weeks and they still play well. They stay steady, right? And Baylor has not shown that at this point. Neither is Oklahoma, honestly. But I think the talent difference in Caleb Williams, like Gary mentioned in the comments, Caleb Williams is a stud. Right. And he's still a freshman. He makes mistakes. I'm with you both. I'm taking the under on this. I think Oklahoma wins this game 23.
Yeah. I like the calls on all those. I mean, I can see it being tight. I think we're all in agreement on that. So now our third set of the big three here, our last headline is Notre Dame falls to Virginia. I can definitely see that Notre Dame is a 5-point road favorite right now at Virginia. But guys, you know, they're a 5-point road favorite at Virginia. That's the bet online spread right now. Over under is 64.5. Guys, when you're talking about Virginia, you got to talk about Brennan Armstrong, who is just dealing at quarterback. I mean, I was looking up numbers earlier this year. When you talk about just production-wise, guys, I mean, he's got 405-yard game, 554 yards against North Carolina, 407 against Wake Forest, 487 against Louisville. I mean, you know, 396 against Georgia Tech. They're going to stress this Kyle Hamilton and this defense back there. Kyle Hamilton's a great player, but he can't do it all by himself. And we've seen him give up nearly 40 points to Florida State earlier this year. Toledo puts up 29 points with a decent quarterback play. But I don't know if they've played anybody with the kind of skills and ability that Brennan Armstrong has.
Yeah, so I actually live in Charlottesville now. Like the stadium's like a walk distance for me. So like I know all about UVA, and Brennan Armstrong's been killing it. I mean, he said putting up video game numbers. Now he's banged up. He's still uncertain for the game with that rib injury. They don't know, but it sounds like everything I've been seeing going around. They've been talking about the game. They're gonna
shoot him up with a little Toradol in there.
Don't numb it up. He's gonna have like 8 broken ribs by the end of the night, not feel it till the next day. But like they've been hyping up, saying like, "All right, we think he's gonna play this game," especially with Virginia Tech. You know, big games like this coming up, I think he's gonna play, and that's huge because I agree with you. Like you said, Kyle Hamilton, he's a beast. He can do a lot. But he can't cover both sides of the field. So I think Brennan Armstrong knows that, and he can stretch the field. They can get a run game going. But Virginia's defense is really bad. I mean, you don't even have to watch just the BYU game where they scored like 100 points in the first half. It's just so bad, which is crazy because it's usually the other way around for UVA. Usually their offense is like so hard to watch. Like, man, this defense is good. I just want them to have some kind of production on offense, and it's just never there. And now it's like that meme with Thanos. They're like, "Hey, like we have a defense. Like, what did it cost? Or like we have an offense." He's like, "It cost everything." Like, yeah, that's what it is now. Like their defense is so bad, but their offense can score enough to keep up with it. So for me, I haven't seen enough of a Notre Dame offense. You know, besides the running game has been getting going, to be like, "Hey, we can, you know, outscore them." I just don't know. I like UVA in this game. But if Brennan Armstrong is not 100% and Kyle Hamilton just lighting it up, then I could see it getting bad.
Yeah, Donovan, real quick, I mean, you know, Notre Dame, I don't trust Jack Cohn in a shootout.
No, not at all. And don't get me wrong, they've, especially in the offensive ball rush, run game wise, they've stepped it up a little bit in this latter half of the season. But as we see from a lot of teams, right, Ohio State, State and Oklahoma, whether or not you start to show, you know, some massive improvement doesn't mean you cannot revert back to what you were earlier in this season, right? We saw it again with Ohio State dominate Indiana, and then I get Nebraska. They, like I mentioned, they did it against a lot of top teams, but it's still Nebraska. You revert back to like what you looked like in early stage against Akron, right? Early stages against Oregon, right? So I don't care what Notre Dame has been showing recently, because if anything this season that we've seen is that it doesn't matter what you're showing now. You can revert back easily to what you were earlier in the season. And Notre Dame, of all the top 10 teams, alleged top 10 teams, I think is most susceptible to do that.
No doubt. And our last preview here, actually, we have a best bet before we get to our last preview. Best bet is Auburn -5.5 versus Mississippi State. Now, you're saying take the 5.5, Josh, on this one, right?
I like it. It's hard picking Auburn in anything, let alone betting wise. I won't personally do it just because I can't. I don't bet on Alabama either. It's just a personal thing. But for me, I think Mississippi State has shown like how one dimensional they are. And I think Auburn's defense has been phenomenal this year. I think their pass rush has been getting there. Obviously, the big weight in all this is Bo Nix. He got torn up by Texas A&M, who we're going to talk about here soon. And Mississippi State's not a bad defense. Like, they've got some good playmakers. They got a pretty solid, you know, pass rush, a good secondary. But for me, I think that Auburn can run the ball on Mississippi State, get things going, kind of, once again, just control the game. And Bo Nix is going to want to bounce back from that ugly performance against Texas A&M. So I think 5.5, I like the matchup. It's hard for me to say, but I'm going with it.
Yeah, I think that's it. That's a good bet there. I think Auburn will bounce back in that game, but never count out you know, Will Rogers and the Pirate Mike Leach over there. You never know what's going to happen.
80 passing attempts.
They do some crazy stuff over there for sure. Texas A&M at Ole Miss. That is our last preview here. That's how we'll kind of wrap things up in our preview section before we talk about our top 10 CFP rankings, what we think they should be going into tomorrow night's reveal. Ole Miss, you know, they're a team that they were red hot earlier. They were everybody's darlings. They've had a couple of losses, you know, mixed in here. So, you know, what are the opinions on Ole Miss at this point in the year, Donovan? I mean, and I know you got Matt Corral there, still technically a Heisman candidate and all that kind of stuff. What's the vibe on this one with the Aggies who are playing red hot going into Oxford?
Yeah, as much as I love Matt Corral, I mean, and Josh, maybe you agree with me, he might be my favorite quarterback for Washington coming up. And I think he's a phenomenal player, but that doesn't escape the fact that Ole Miss has been averaging 27 points per game in the last four games, not against anyone great. They're not playing Georgia. They're not playing Alabama in the last four games. They're playing LSU. They're playing Liberty, right? I don't know what's going on with Ole Miss and their offense specifically. What I do know is that Texas A&M has, you know, kind of turned it back on as of late. It's a shame just for college football's sake we didn't see them do that earlier on in the season, because you know, this Texas A&M team was preseason ranked in the top seven, and they still would have been there, right, if they wouldn't have dropped the game. I think the big key for this, and this may be surprising, I think Zach Calzada for Texas A&M is like one big hit away from having a hit that he cannot come back into the game for, right? We've seen it like three different times where he gets cracked, right? And somehow, miracle, right, against Alabama, or last week, he comes back and you're like, oh my gosh, I thought he just died. I think Ole Miss needs to dial up the pressure, because if they can get to him, and again, I'm not actively rooting for him to get hurt. I'm not saying he's going to get hurt. I'm just saying these are the cards that have been dealt so far this season, and he has been beaten up, right, behind an offensive line that, you know, we kind of said was going to struggle a little bit. They have a couple of really good players, but overall they struggle a little bit. That, I think, is the key for Ole Miss, to dial up the pressure, kind of get back to that offense that they had, the fast-moving, fast-paced offense that we haven't seen as of recent.
Yeah, for me, I'm looking at this Texas A&M defense, which has been phenomenal all season long, like, you know, made big plays, created some turnovers against Alabama, like in the red zone, made opportunities for the offense. And what I saw against Auburn was the Texas A&M defense, like we've been expecting all season long, and we thought was going to be like this high-ranked, dominant team with the offense that could, you know, complement it with Spiller, Watermeyer, and all that. But for me, it's DeMarvin Leal at 6'4", 290 pounds, and 5.5 sacks this season, and Michael Clemens at 6'5", 270, complementing him with 3.5 sacks this season and a forced fumble. Matt Corral the last few weeks, obviously he had Liberty last week, which garbage. I feel sorry for Malik Willis. But he's shown, like, under pressure, like, he can get hit. We saw him get banged up against Auburn. He had to leave, and he came back. Texas A&M, when you talk about Ole Miss bringing the pressure, Texas A&M is going to do the same thing. They know, like, they have a good running game with Ely and who's the other guy?
Snoop Connor.
They're not going to be able to run the ball. I don't think Ole Miss is going to be able to run the ball. I think Matt Corral is going to try to do those plays, you know, design runs, create something out of nothing on his feet. I think Texas A&M is going to shut that down. DeMarvin Leal is a beast. I love Leal's game at the next level for the NFL, but I think they're going to put Corral under a lot of pressure. He's going to have to create big plays, and it's going to lead to some turnovers in the secondary. So I think A&M, stylistically wise, this is a terrible matchup for Ole Miss. Like, luckily, it's at Ole Miss, so it could be a little bit closer, but still, I love A&M this game.
None Your Business with a $4.99 super chat here. So we appreciate None Your. He said, just join the stream. What are your thoughts on Oregon being in the top four with a loss to 3-6 Stanford? Any scenario where they went out and get left out? You know, I don't think that the committee is going to end up putting Cincinnati in regardless. I think Cincinnati can win all these games that they've got out left, and there's nothing good enough for them to jump anybody. So I think if everything stays status quo, if Oregon keeps winning, I think they're going to They're going to get in. I mean, I don't see any scenario where they don't get in. I think that's just a, you know, Donovan, you know, pointed to it earlier. One game or one struggle, that's considered an accident, right? Two, that considers to become, you know, a little bit of an alarming
trend
deal going on. Number three, it's a problem, you know. So accident, a trend, and then a problem. And Cincinnati's got a problem. Oregon, I don't think, has that. Oregon's been fairly consistent throughout the year.
They've been going through a lot, too.
Their offensive coordinator was out, not calling plays for that game. That gets a mix-up right there going on, you know, with that game.
Injuries all over the place.
Yeah, a lot of injuries. So that's the Oregon. But we had to throw that super chat out there, and we'll always do that when guys – throw the super chats out, so we appreciate that. Nunya, but
that was a super wonky loss to Stanford too, like the ending of that game, which is like boom boom boom, like crazy play. Oregon should be undefeated right now with a big win against Ohio State, which we'll talk about in our rankings of how much these head-to-head matchups, how much weight they have in the rankings, and the playoff committee showed that right off the bat.
Yeah, I really think that the committee likes Oregon a lot, you know, for sure. So I think that their resume
is good for the alliance.
It's standing out. Yeah, good for the alliance. So but back to what you were talking about with Texas A&M and Ole Miss, I agree. I think that, you know, when you're talking about a Texas A&M team, you got a defense that is rock solid, right? I mean, I think that's why you're talking about why Texas A&M was ranked in the, you know, well up in the top 10 earlier before the year. And it's just difficult to, you know, they had those hiccups against Mississippi State, against Arkansas, where they had some quarterback issues early on. Zach Calzada hadn't really, you know, found his footing yet, things like that. But then he comes in Alabama and plays the game of his life. His legend grows this week against Auburn, you know, as he gets knocked out of the game, comes back in again, does some good things. So Texas A&M has won the Alabama State Championship. They've defeated Auburn and Alabama. So they are the champions of Alabama for 2021. And now they will try to go into Oxford and do the same thing to Matt Corral in a – you know, very talented, you know, Lane Kiffin run offense that's going to try to test that defense. But that defense has a lot of experience, has a lot of speed, and the culture that Jimbo Fisher is trying to instill there, I think, is really taking root in Texas A&M. And man, the recruiting. They got Walter Nolan as a commit this weekend. They got another receiver, a highly ranked receiver that committed to him this weekend. So Texas A&M starting to really pick it up on the trail, and they're doing their darndest to get up there in Alabama and Georgia territory when it comes to recruiting on a consistent basis.
Walter Nolan's the highest ranked recruiting all time, like past Miles Garrett. That's how good he is.
I went and saw him in person up at Powell, Tennessee, late August, early September. I saw him in practice, and just a guy that's that big shouldn't be able to move with that much suddenness to him now. I think he's got to get some consistency about him. There was plenty of plays that he was taking off, you know, in practice and things like that. He's got to grow out of that some a little bit, but he's also got a little brother who's a freshman that is well-built, you know, from the hips down, you know what I'm saying? Like he's
a built-in buffet.
Yeah. He's got the wide hips, the big legs that everybody's looking for out of the offensive lineman. At that highest power five level, and is able to bend and move for a freshman. So the Nolan family is going to that won't be the last big D1 commit they have in that family. But
go ahead and retire, Mama Nolan.
No doubt. Donovan, go ahead and give us your prediction here on Texas A&M. It scored prediction, and then we're going to wrap it up with our Big Ten or our top 10 here for each of us.
Well, I like that you're thinking, you know, Big Ten, top 10. It makes sense. You know, there's a bunch of Big Ten teams in the top 10. But I'm going to go Texas A&M in this game, even though it is at Ole Miss. I think we've seen a lot of struggles from the Ole Miss offense. I don't think their defense is good enough to stop, you know, a Texas A&M offense that isn't anything special, but can score if you let them. In the end, I'm going to go Texas A&M. I'll go 27. I'm going to go Ole Miss 23.
Okay. Josh, what do you think? Yeah, Texas A&M 2.5-point favorite on the road with a over and under 55.5.
Oh yeah, I take that all day long. Like I said, I love Texas A&M in this matchup. Ole Miss allows 194 rushing yards per game. So a good way to help out your quarterback is to hand it off to Isaiah Spiller, who's one of the top, you know, running backs in the SEC. It's going to open up the game for guys like Wattenmeyer down the field to expose this Ole Miss defense. There hasn't been a good defense. I mean, you're looking at teams like Tennessee in the shootout. I mean, the Arkansas game, like they just haven't been consistent. They've just been leaning on that offense to score big points. And like I said earlier, Texas A&M is not going to let that happen. I think Texas A&M wins this one. I think it's going to be like a 35-20 game, 35-17. I don't think it's close. I think Matt Corral is going to be frustrated all game long. And like I said, it starts up there with Leal.
Yeah, and I just I definitely like, you know, Texas A&M by 2.5, even though it's at Ole Miss. But I just don't know. I'm going with the under here. I just feel like it's more of a low scoring contest with what you said about, I think, you know, Jimbo Fisher knowing that, hey, I've got one quarterback on this roster that's able to do some stuff. I don't need to make him take too many hits. I need to be able to run the ball and kind of bleed the clock and get out of here and do some things like that. So I think that's the approach they'll take. Now, I'm sure they'll have some explosive plays down the field, and that'll expedite things a little bit. But I'm going to take Texas A&M to win this game, but I do think it'll be a lower scoring game because I don't think Ole Miss would be able to generate some of the bigger plays that they've been able to do. Matt Corral, I think, will find it tough against that front seven to Marvin Lill, some of those guys. I think Johnson had two sacks for him in that game last week. He was a beneficiary of some of that attention that DeMarvin Lill got. So we shall see, you know, what ends up happening in that game. But I think Texas A&M takes this one. I'm going to take it more of a low scoring game. I think they win this one 24. I'm going to take them to win it 24 to 14, something like that. I think they really stifle Ole Miss's offense. But with that being said, I think you're going to see, Texas A&M show up in some of these top 10s here. But Donovan, go ahead and not in yours, but they will in mine. Josh, go ahead.
Still
and,
awake?
Where yeah. You think your top 10 would be right now?
I'll roll through these pretty quick. Again, Georgia, unquestioned, number one. Nothing's changing week in, week out for them. Ohio State, still number two. Again, they struggled against Nebraska, but so did Oklahoma, so did Michigan State, so did Michigan. We didn't penalize for that at that point. And I'm not penalizing Alabama for having six, that wasn't a misspoken word, six rushing yards against LSU. I put Oklahoma at three. I think there's a struggle right now of after Georgia, those two through four, right? I don't know if anyone deserves to be at any, you know, higher than anyone else. And so at that point, I just kind of go off of who do I think it really would have the best opportunity to win, you know, 10 times out of 10 or 10 games played, who's going to win most of them. I genuinely think that right now Ohio State would win more than half the games they play against Oklahoma and Alabama. And I think Oklahoma would split it almost even with Alabama just because Alabama has been honestly just as inconsistent as Oklahoma, in my opinion. Josh would probably disagree. Mm-hmm. Oregon, I put up number five. I think they're coming to their own a little bit. I get they play a weaker schedule, but they have athletes, right? They're showing some grittiness to it. I understand they didn't almost lose to Washington, but it took Washington having a punt, you know, snapped out of the back of their end zone to make that game a two-score game. Cincinnati, we touched on a decent amount. Listen, they deserve to be ranked, you know, where they're at in the CFP rankings now. But other than that, unless it's absolute chaos, there's no way they're getting in. They're just not proving they deserve to. Michigan State will do the Alabama test. You lose to an unranked team, we'll drop you down four spots. I think that is a fair ranking, drop from 3 to 7. Michigan, I can't out of principle put them ahead. Michigan State, again, you know my feelings about the Wolverines. I think they're slow. I think they'll get exposed by Ohio State when the time comes to be. Oklahoma State, again, tough defense, great culture, great run game. I think we're going to see them eventually upset the Sooners. And then Wake Forest, I'm keeping them in there because I think they can score on just about anybody. I think they would give fits to a lot of the teams in the top 10, and I think they would give fits to the teams right behind them. Even Texas A&M. I understand that Texas A&M, you know, just athlete-wise and physicality-wise, would maul them up front. But I think they could score on anybody. Except for Georgia, maybe. I don't know about Georgia. I don't know about Georgia.
So we might not be able to score on Georgia. So, yeah, I'll run through mine also. Obviously, Georgia number one. I'm keeping Alabama at number two. I get it. I'm not going to make excuses for a six-point win. I'm not going to say, you know, this is Coach O's last time going against Alabama, blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to go. We won, so I'm not going to make any excuses. I'm going to keep Oregon at three moving up. Taking over Michigan State spot because once again, like I said, they love that win over Ohio State. So that's why I have Ohio State right behind them at four. You know, Ohio State's getting it together. They're finally clicking, looked good against Penn State, but you can't put them over Oregon because Oregon beat them. And until Oregon loses, I've got to keep them there. So I've got Oklahoma at five. Hopefully, you know, they can make a statement against Baylor. It'd be their first statement really of the season other than Texas, I guess. So I'm keeping, I have them at five and then Michigan State at six. Not going to drop them too much. I think Purdue has shown that they are actually a really good team on both sides of the ball. And I think we're going to see that against Ohio State this week. I have seven, Michigan, and it's funny because I told Blaine before we started recording, Michigan can somehow still make it like into the top four in the playoffs if they win out, if they beat Ohio State and go through this gauntlet and win the Big Ten. I think Michigan's really good. Their defense is phenomenal. I think they showed that their offense is a little bit more in the past game than what we expected. And like I said, they could easily have been undefeated if they would have beat Michigan State in that one that they really should have. Cincinnati at eight. That's just, they're not doing it for me. I can't sit here and sit down and say, man, let me watch Cincinnati play this terrible team that they're supposed to blow out. And it's going to be a close game every single week. They just haven't passed the eye test. And I think that's as important as some of these other factors.
Let me listen to Mike Golic Jr. try to say good stuff about Cincinnati. How does he get their game every week?
I don't know. To me, I'd like, give me someone else, send me out to the Mac or something where I can watch some competitive games.
Yeah, I'm right.
It was that. Hey, I like some Mac games. Oak State, phenomenal defense, like we talked about. If they can beat Oklahoma to end the season, they get them after a gauntlet that Oklahoma's about to have to go through with Baylor, Iowa State, I believe. And then Oak State, at Oak State, they can make some noise too. And then Texas A&M, I think they're absolutely a number 10 team, which looks and helps out Alabama a lot more, saying, hey, you know, Kyle Field's one of the hardest places to play. Alabama went there, they lost. Maybe that loss isn't as bad as what we thought it was at the time, because now Texas A&M's beating up on some SEC teams.
No doubt. No doubt. A good perspective there on that. And here's mine. Yes, I am going to do what the committee won't do, and I'm going to say that win for Oregon over Ohio State in the year is no longer relevant with how these teams are going to, you know, be right now at this point in the year. I don't think Oregon would beat Ohio State if they played again. I know Ohio State, you know, struggled this past week, but I'm just telling you, on a neutral field, I think that Ohio State has improved. So I'm going to put them at three. So I'm going to go Georgia one, Alabama two, Ohio State three, Oklahoma four, then Oregon. My problem with Oregon is I have little to any, if any, respect at all for the Pac-12. I just feel like the Pac-12 is very, very down. And I don't, you know, even a team, they had to fight to beat, Oregon had to fight to beat UCLA when UCLA is just not a good ball team. I mean, it's really not. I feel like the Pac-12 is highly, highly disappointing. And, you know, I will give them the benefit of being over Michigan State now that Michigan State just lost to Purdue. But I think that's actually, like you said, Josh, that's not a terrible loss. Purdue and Mississippi State both are the only teams that have defeated multiple teams that are ranked currently in the top 25 right now, still ranked. Now, not when they were playing them at the time, but still ranked right now in the rankings. So that is something to be said for the Boilermakers, of course, which you already talked about. Michigan, Cincinnati, Oklahoma State, and Texas A&M to round it out. I think the Aggies are playing really, really well. If Alabama slips up just one time going in these, you know, one of these, their last two SEC contests, then it'll be Texas A&M in the SEC championship against Georgia instead of Alabama, if that were to happen. So that is my top 10 rankings. I don't know. That's what the committee will do. Who knows what they'll do? I think they need to drop.
Oregon will be two, watch.
Oregon may jump up there. Who knows? Alabama coming off that. But, guys, I just think that Cincinnati needs to – I think they need to be brought back down to earth a little bit because they're being hyped up for absolutely no reason. I think the Bearcats are garbage. I've said it for weeks now. I think they're pretenders. So I think they need to be – I would drop them. I wish I could drop them out all the way out of the top 10. But, you know, realistically, it's just a year where nobody's really great, except Georgia's blowing the doors off of people right now. Nobody's challenged them. We'll see if they get a challenge or a 20-point favorite on the road in Knoxville. I've been watching Georgia football for a long time. I cannot remember, you know, other than maybe a couple years ago, and when Tennessee was just in dire straits, where Georgia opens up as a 20.5-point favorite on the road in Knoxville. Just doesn't happen. So I'm not real worried about that game for Georgia, just because Tennessee lives off of big plays, and they gave up 612 yards to Kentucky.
Who doesn't?
Is not an offense juggernaut. So I think you're going to see Georgia put up a lot of yards there and continue to dominate in this game upcoming this week, and they'll hold on to that number one spot, and we'll see what the committee does tomorrow. But Donovan, Josh, any last thoughts before we sign off here?
No, I think this week has a lot of great matchups that can impact the college football playoffs. So I think once again, we'll learn a lot this week, and then in the next episode, we'll break it down and give our new rankings, which I think we could see some movement in it. Like I said, I'm interested to see where, if they penalize Alabama for a close win against LSU, or if they, you know, keep Oregon as high as they do, and how far they drop Cincinnati. So I think it is interesting, though, that you brought up Texas A&M might, you know, put their cap in there if Alabama does lose to Auburn.
And or goes Arkansas.
We'll see. More likely Auburn. I don't think they lose either, obviously, but more likely Auburn, to where they could say, hey, go to SEC championship game and win. That's interesting to me.
Yeah, they're not going to keep even a two-loss SEC champion out of the playoffs, though. So that would be a problem for either Oregon or Michigan State, one of those two, or Michigan, whoever ends up being that other team, you know, because if they run the table, you know, they beat Alabama, they would have, you know, beat the rest of the teams on their schedule after the Mississippi State and Arkansas debacle. They would go on the road, beat Ole Miss. They would have beat Georgia in the ACC championship. I don't think they're going to keep them out at that point. But Donovan, last thought before we sign off here.
Yeah, I'll throw out this one hot take is I think Texas A&M is barely a top 15 team. That is my hot take for tonight. I'm going to stand by it because they were, what were they, number five, number six at the beginning of the season. And I said, so I think they're pretenders. I don't really care if their defense is that great. I'm waiting for them to collapse a little bit. And I know I picked them against Ole Miss, and I think they will win against Ole Miss. If they lose against Ole Miss, I will double down on that hot take and say that they are not a top 15 team.
He'll put another one in the oven.
I think they're like 13, 14 right now, barely hanging on by a thread.
But you got to respect him switching quarterbacks and still maintaining success. He's banged up. He might be on crutches by the time.
It tells you the culture, but I don't think they could keep up with a lot of great offenses out there in college football right now. They kept up with Alabama, but you know, no offense, Josh. I mean, like, Alabama, Ohio State, like a lot of teams have been inconsistent this year.
Here's a hypothetical. If Georgia were, let's say Alabama lost another game and Georgia were to face A&M in the SEC championship game, what do you think that point spread would open up at?
Georgia faced Texas A&M in the SEC championship.
Georgia 13.5.
13.5?
I'd say Georgia probably 17. I don't think
it'd be that much. I think you'd see Georgia. I think you'd see Georgia like -9.5 or something like that. I think it'd be,
because 13.5 is what they.
I just have a major respect for Texas A&M's defense and the talent they have over there on that side of the ball. I really think that you know, Texas A&M is pretty stout on that defensive side. Now Georgia would eat Zach Calzada and that offense alive. Yeah. I mean, you know, when your strength is your running backs and they have to go up against Georgia's front seven, that's not a good recipe for you. And I don't think Jalen Weidermeyer is going to be a mismatch for him either.
He's going to have like 400 yards for y'all to keep it going.
Yeah, but that's a hypothetical for another day. So that is our episode where we've reacted to week 10. We've previewed games for week 11. Hope you will, you know, tune in each week. We're going to try to go on Sunday nights. We may go Monday nights. We'll put it out there on Twitter. Follow us at CFB Unfiltered. Go out there. Monday nights may actually end up being a better deal for us, leading right into the CFB playoff reveal, the rankings reveal each week. So like I said, subscribe, turn on notifications, find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. Just search CFB Unfiltered, search any one of our names. They'll come up. You'll be able to find it there. But appreciate everybody tuning in. And for Donovan White and Josh Taylor, I am Blaine Gilmer, and we will catch you next time on CFB Unfiltered. It's not ending.